Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend. This is our Memorial Day weekend episode. And last year, we did TAPS. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that episode, I'll explain to you what TAPS is. TAPS is the song that is played at military funerals. And we have a really moving ceremony that surrounds it. Each person has done what's called a roll call. And we announce their names. We say their name completely. And then TAPS begins to play. I think it's important to remember the names and hear the names of people who are lost throughout the year. So that's what we want to do now. These are the names that have lost their lives since Memorial Day weekend of 2017 that have served in our armed forces. And Memorial Day weekend, for the last like 15 years, has been a time-honored spot for military members across the globe and across the landscape to get on Facebook, to get on Twitter, to get on Instagram, and try to stunt on everybody who never served before by reminding them, oftentimes like an asshole, of what Memorial Day is about. How do you guys feel about that post whenever you see, it's always the same meme too. It's always the dude in Afghanistan looking over the berm with dirt and shit flying because there's bullets going there and like, I remember what I was doing while you were at college taking tests type of thing. Isn't that the one that you think about when you think about Memorial Day memes?
Yeah, it definitely is.
I think of graveyards, unfortunately. Like, people posting, like, tombstones and stuff like that. Like,
and then these, being like, enjoy your barbecue, dickheads.
These people died so that you could get drunk on Memorial Day.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I think, you know, we've said it before, but for any new listeners, we've had the sentiment that we think about our friends that have unfortunately passed and what they would want us to be doing on Memorial Day. And that's exactly what we plan on doing, whether it's, you know, barbecuing and throwing back a few beers and celebrating our freedoms and celebrating their lives as opposed to just trying to shit on everybody who wants to have a nice weekend with their friends and family. I think that's what's important.
Yeah, and a lot of times the same guys that I see posting that, I'm like, dude, last Memorial Day I did a beer bong with you. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know.
And
I don't
even when you're in the military, like even when you're on active duty, that's the type of thing that happens. People are fucking bringing out tarps that they shouldn't be, that should be covering Humvees or 7-tons, lining them up in the field in Okinawa and going nuts and making their own slip and slide. You're doing the same exact shit that you're telling people not to. And oftentimes the people who post memes like that were the biggest shitbags that I knew while I was in the military.
Yeah. No, I mean, I certainly appreciate to an extent where the people are coming from because it's not something that I want to just completely block out. I certainly do want to remember and honor those members of the military community who paid the ultimate sacrifice, but I don't want to do it to the extent that I'm just dwelling on that all weekend and not enjoying myself because, as I said, that's not what my friends would want.
Well, you're an asshole. I lock myself. I lock myself in the bathroom all weekend, every year, put on Enya, light some candles, and I just sit online and just bitch everyone out
who's
enjoying
right
themselves. I just troll the interwebs
I think
and
those people,
make sure people...
I think those people want you to basically be like the scene in Monty Python where they're going down. It's like the very opening scene where the monks are like, and just be super somber the entire time. Nobody wants to do that. I'm not saying that you have to do Bud Light Limes with Toby Keith playing an American soldier for the entire time. But just have a good time. Have a good time on Memorial Day because that's what everybody that I know who died would want you to do is have a great time. Kate, later on in the episode, has a Kate's Corner where she talks about one of her friends who passed in combat operations in Afghanistan. And I helped train Coffee. I don't know.
You did?
I don't know if we've talked about that before. Yeah, he was.
I don't think we did.
He was a student of mine whenever I was teaching at the dog school.
Excellent dude, right?
Yeah, very, very good dude.
Yeah.
Great student. And I always would make fun of his last name, like being Coffee. Like,
yeah.
Come up with coffee puns all day. And then whenever you get news, you're like, fuck, man. Like, as a senior Marine, when you know that you treated somebody like shit, like we often do with junior Marines whenever you're a senior Marine, and then they pay the ultimate sacrifice. You look back at some of the actions that you took as a trainer, and you're like, fuck. I wish hell yeah. was nicer. But you never know what's going to happen, and that's just kind of how training goes. So I always look back with regrets on dudes that I trained that were ultimately killed or lost limbs, and like, man, I wish I was super nice to that guy. But that's just not how training goes sometimes. Just
you know, now that you mention it, I remember him bringing up a total asshole instructor who was just a big piece of shit. That's so weird.
You see this dude at canine school? He had like a tribal tattoo. Like, what tribe is he part of?
Yeah, yeah. No, I will say one cool thing that I did a couple of Memorial Days ago when I lived up here in New York, up in the Bronx. I lived right next to Woodlawn Cemetery.
Sure.
And they do a really cool thing where they ask for volunteers to come and put flags on the graves, mm-hmm. but, and they give you certain plots, but it's not just like, here's where the graves are, put them down. They take a bunch of New York City historians and they find the stories of those veterans. So as you're planting the flag, you can read about who got this V for valor and why and what mm-hmm. they did. So it's really cool. It's not just planting flags. Like, you learn so much about these New York City veterans and stuff. I just think that's super cool.
Yeah. I think that'd be even a better way than just trying to poo-poo everyone that wants to have a barbecue. Why don't you just take some time and find one person and read about that person and tell your family and friends about that person that you read about, because I think that's a great way to honor their memory and their sacrifice as opposed to trying to be sanctimonious for the rest of the world. I think that's a new tradition that we should start.
I think that's a good one.
And I also like the fact that you don't have to do it with a certain amount of reverence. I think that it's more honoring of them when you talk about the kind of person that they actually were, instead of acting like every single person who's given their life for the country is a last action hero and like mm-hmm. the most honorable person of all time. I've talked about that with my friend Chris Diaz that was killed in Afghanistan. Like, he would be pissed if everybody viewed him as like this prim and proper, always wearing dress blues even when he slept at a 90-degree angle because he was at the position of attention with his feet at a 45-degree angle. Like, that's not what he wants to be remembered as, surely. So I almost think, like, I wish that there was a section, like, before, you know, when you go to, before you deploy, you do these packages of things that you write about yourself. You have, like, SEER questions. You have all these different things of, you have to make sure that your insurance is lined up, that your parents get right. pay if like you get killed. So your funeral, where you want to be buried. I almost wish that you had like a senior quote that you could add to your tombstone, like on
right?
the side.
Oh yeah. That's a great idea.
And how many like young troops now, like whenever they're going, like Lance Corporals, PFCs, privates, whatever, young seamen, young airmen on the side of their tombstone in Arlington would be like, one bite, everybody knows the rules. Or like, because you just have the cross or the star of crest or the crescent or the Star of David. You don't really have anything that sets you apart as your own personal man. Like, and I think that that really dehumanizes, like, man or woman, it really dehumanizes the entire process of giving your life when you view everybody as just this last action hero that's prim and proper, that's mm-hmm. all they wanted to do their entire life was serve their country, because that's just not reality.
No, not at all. I mean, everyone has different reasons for joining and everyone takes a different path when they're in the military. So I think, speaking to what I already said about figuring more out about these people and doing the research about who they were and what they were about is more important than putting a flag necessarily next to a gravestone.
What did your friend do who died in combat? What did he love to do? Well, he loved to just curl up in bed and read Marine Corps Order 1020.34 Golf about the uniform standards, and he really loved to see everybody's Eagle Globe and anchors was facing inboard whenever they were wearing their dress uniform. That's all he really cared about, that and rifle qual. Like, that's it.
That's it.
Those are the things that he cared about. Not crushing fucking mad booze and getting some dirty skank titties from the Wawa. Like, that's what he liked.
I like to think mine would have a tiny little Miller Lite can engraved on it.
Yeah.
Nice. So people could know how pathetic I was. But
just goofing, I'm not like, really have, good like, at just those goofing types on things. Yours. I was just goofing.
What's that?
Just goofing.
Just goofing. Three payments. Genuine ostrich.
All right, so we're going to go into a little change pace a little bit, and we're going to do that brought to you by First Leaf. I'm sure that if you're drinking wine this weekend, if you're a basic bitch and you're having like some Pinot Gris or Chardonnay, make sure that you do it with First Leaf. First Leaf is going to have a limited time offer for you. The more wine you taste and rate, the better they customize box. And when you signed up with our personal link, you get a 3-pack of introductory wine for only $15 plus free shipping. If you rate your first 3 runs, you'll get an extra $10 off your next bottle of wine. When it comes to bottling wine, most of our choices are made out of habit. We don't remember. We just look at the labels, whatever. First Leaf is a new online wine club that's putting a stop to boring wine by helping you discover your new favorite wines. Every shipment is curated to your best taste on the ratings of your wine. Sign up with my personal link and you'll be able to get an exclusive trial offer. It's 3 bottles of wine, again, for $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate these 3 wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next wine. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/chaps. That's tryfirstleaf.com/chaps. That's tryfirstleaf.com/chaps. And they actually have pretty good wines. Like when they come in and you have a shit ton to pick from. So try that out. You'll enjoy it. I wrote a blog earlier today about the president of Turkmenistan. Yeah, I know it's surprising that I'm on the Turkmenistan beat, but somebody had to do it, so I took that under my wing. Here's the article. Local police in Turkmenistan are inspecting toilets for evidence that locals have been using newspapers containing photographs of president. I'm not even going to begin. Actually, I am going to begin to try to say it. President Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov. Nailed it.
Got it.
To wipe themselves one more time. That's President Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov. Nailed it again. The regional police and western region of Balkan have allegedly instructed the community policing officers to check toilets in public spaces and private houses and to find evidence of people using newspapers with pictures of the country president as tissue paper, also known as toilet paper, also known as booty wipe, also known as cooter cotton. Moscow based this new website, this website in Russia, for its credibility reporting in Turkmen affairs. Officers have been told to look for Turkmen leaders' soiled pictures at landfill site, as well as among garbage at waste collection point. There is a special junior janitor at every landfill whose job it is to inspect garbage, to look for soiled newspaper photos, to establish the house or flat of the newspaper subscriber, and to report it to the police. So that brought me to two things. I want to talk about two things going off this. One, if this happened at a military base and the colonel walked into the bathroom and the colonel saw that somebody had taken the command photo and wiped their ass with it, this same exact type of investigation would be placed.
There
would be a newspaper corporal that was in charge to go look around, inspect the asses, mind like getting the color of the shit,
looking for ink,
figuring it out. You'd have everybody out online in the platoon, like who the fuck wiped their ass. You'd stand out there until somebody just took the blame for it, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, imagine what would happen at your unit if the colonel walked in and saw his or her shit covered face.
Well, it was Lori Reynolds that I had at the time, was our main, like, I think she was a colonel. I'm pretty sure it would have been, everybody form up, turn around, bend the fuck over, pull your pants down, because we're going to figure this one out. Yeah, it would have been, I mean, we would have been on restriction probably for, like, quite some time.
Yeah.
And then there would be, like, a 24-hour watch put on the new command photos, like... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you definitely have fire watch out, because it'd be like a string of events and then you just start doing it over and over again. There's so many things that you have to wipe your ass with, I feel like, at some point in your life. I feel like everybody's done this. You wipe your ass with the inside of the tube of the toilet paper because you're out of toilet paper. You have no more. So you like rip it open, use it, and you almost use it like a spackle, like you're making bricks, and you just scrape off the rest.
I've never done that.
No?
Well, I've never heard of that.
It happens. Desperate times call for desperate measures. One time I was in the field and this is still when I was in college training, and I had to go, and I realized I didn't have any baby wipes. Nobody had any toilet paper. And one of my pals was standing there, and he had his patrol cap on, and there was another patrol cap just strewn about on his stuff. So I was like, whose patrol cap is that? He's like, oh, I have an extra. I'm like, all right, I'm going to need to borrow that. So I took his extra patrol cap, and that's what I used to wipe myself because that's how bad it was, and I couldn't wait to get somewhere that had toilet paper or dude wipes or anything of that nature. So unfortunately for him, he was down one patrol cap.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, did you use the brim or the
I used it all. It was a messy one. I used it all.
Yeah, that's bad news, Bears. I'm still laughing about you talking about using it like a spackle scraper. For some reason, that imagery just really tickled me. When my first deployment, I don't even know what it stands for, but the SMU burned down, which is like on Leatherneck, which was like the biggest logistics warehouse where they kept everything. So out where we were, there was a huge shortage. All the WAG bags burned in it. And so until they could get more, we didn't have any more WAG bags. And
so wait, let's stop there. Let's explain what a WAG bag is, because I don't know if we've ever done that on the show.
No, we haven't. That's definitely a new term.
So,
well, it's pretty much a trash bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much when you're out of the bigger camps, there's nowhere for you to like get rid of your waste. So you basically shit in a garbage bag. And it's this little pack that comes with like a tiny thing of toilet paper that is never enough. And a little thing of powder, I think, right? Like kitty litter almost.
Yeah,
that you sprinkle
essentially
in it.
Like kitty litter.
Yeah, to get rid of the stench, yep.
But you put it wherever. There was times that it was like sandbags with an ammo can that I was taking a dumper in. But like you and you find a hole, you put it in there, and you go to town. And because the SMU had burned down, they were kind of running short on WAG bags. And I peed in them too because I was like the only woman on this outpost. And they were like, well, you can't pee in the WAG bags anymore. We have a short supply. So I had to cut the top off of a Gatorade bottle and just pee in that for a while and dump it behind my tent. And then
piss bottles. Yeah. Piss bottles.
Then it starts to stink like
And then it started to stink. And it didn't occur to me that everyone would know I was just pouring my piss next to my tent. So I was like the dirty kid at camp. And then, which I should have just walked it over to the piss tubes and poured it in like a lady. But then they got to the point, it was so bad that they were reusing WAG bags.
Oh,
like loosely
no.
Tying them to shit in because like that's how short on them we were. And
I thought that you always – I've never been anywhere where you don't reuse
Oh, well,
bags.
We were living in the lap of luxury. We were just blowing through WAG bags. But this, we were like so loosely
Your
tying them in.
Personal WAG bags. Jesus Christ. You guys are fancy.
Yeah, very fancy. And so I forgot the first time I like went to reuse one that – because it comes with a little packet, like I said, with the toilet paper. I forgot that I had already used that up before. So it's like the middle of the night, and I'm out in this little plywood, like, port-a-shitter with, like, just a hole in it. And I go to wipe, and I'm like, oh, my God. I don't have any toilet paper. And normally there was rolls kept, like, extra rolls and stuff
sure.
kept. But there just wasn't any. Yeah. So I had to...
Yeah, it's one thing to go to the bathroom knowing you don't have any
no
toilet
way,
paper.
God.
It's another thing altogether.
Kate almost lost it. You had to what?
I had to tear it. Piece of plastic off the top of the WAG bag and try and wipe my ass with plastic.
How'd that go?
Hand.
How'd that go?
It was like spreading icing on a cake. It was like,
you're just making it worse.
Yeah, it was not.
It reminds me of that imagery. Reminds me of when Kevin in the office drops the big pot of chili.
Yes.
Trying to get it all back in the bucket.
I pretty much had shitty butt.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The amount of people that would pay to use SeatGeek to see that would be incredible. If you want to buy a ticket to watch Kate clean her ass with a piece of plastic, you can do that on SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated, confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every single type of live event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or wiping your ass while you're on the toilet, the last thing that you need to do is use SeatGeek to get the tickets that you want. It's full and guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person, and it pays for the biggest plays of the year. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for the value. Best of all, our listeners get $10 for free off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code CHAPS today. That's promo code CHAPS for $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. Get the app. Go in there if you want to go to the NBA playoffs, Broadway shows, wherever. SeatGeek has it. It's a go-to app that we use. It's the official seat partner of Barstool Sports. I just recently used it whenever I got tickets to go to Waitress the Musical. I'm super excited about going that with my fam. So we're going to use that. SeatGeek hooked us up with some nice-ass tickets. PFT and Nate and all of them got – they basically were on the ice with SeatGeek.
Yeah,
yeah, those seats were awesome.
Very, very good seats. Use those today. SeatGeek, $10 off with the promo code CHAPS. All right, so now we're going to switch into a little bit more serious mode. We're going to play Kate's Corner that she did last night about one of her friends who was killed in action. Here's that.
Yo, welcome to a slightly more somber than usual edition of Kate's Corner. I know it's been a little while since I've done one of these, but actually it's, 12:54 a.m. on the 24th of May, as I say this, and I got out of bed to say it, because I was laying there and it's heavy on my mind. The 24th of May is kind of a toughie for me because it's the day that my friend Corporal Keaton G. Coffey was killed in 2012 in Afghanistan. And it's a day that I will never forget, but it's also a day I don't talk about. I wear his name on a bracelet on my wrist, but I can't remember the last time until now that I said his name out loud. He was a good guy. I remember being on Camp Leatherneck. I was also deployed at the time in 2012, my second deployment. And helicopters would come and go on the other side of the HESCOs from where I was every day doing physical security. And we'd sit out in the smoke pit, and every time I saw one, I'd send up this silent prayer to whoever the greater power is. And I'd say, please, please let whoever's on that helo be okay. Please let them be okay. And on that particular day, we were out in the smoke pit. It was towards the end of the day. Hilo comes in. I send up that prayer. Workday ends. We head back to the cans. And Marine, it was a blur. I don't remember who it was. But Marine comes running up. And that was coffee on that Hilo. That was coffee. We come to find out that he had been shot in the head by a sniper while he was providing overwatch. He was a canine handler with our unit. And he was still alive. So all we knew at the time was that they were over at the field hospital trying to keep him alive. And, the whole unit, we were all outside at the smoke pit by the cans, just pacing back and forth for, it felt like an eternity. It must have been hours. And finally, another Marine comes walking up, and they didn't have to say a word. Just the look on their face, we knew that coffee was gone. And I wish that I had handled it differently in that moment. Looking back, I was a Marine, and I had younger Marines looking to me for guidance, and instead of being strong, I remember slamming my fists on the gravel outside of the smoke pit and screaming. We had taken losses on my first deployment that were tough, to say the least, but something about this just kind of broke me in the moment. I did not handle myself well. Keaton was a real special friend to me, and he was a really, really amazing person and Marine. Back in California, him, two other Marines, and I put our money together for this surfing van that we called the Prospector. It had brown shag carpeting, brown carpets. Already said that, Kate. But it also had brown curtains. And it was just, the whole thing was just covered in brown. Had like a 3-foot stick shift. The exhaust coming out of it was like tar, pretty much. Instead of smoke, probably left like a tar streak on the road. But we would jam our surfboards in it after work and on the weekends, and we would go surfing together. And those are some of the best memories of my entire life. Some of my happiest, most carefree times. And the very last time, I'm so grateful for this, the very last time the four of us hung out before deployment, we took the Prospector up north of Camp Pendleton to this place called Black's Beach, and we just had, from morning to evening, the most perfect day at the beach. We were surfing, the waves were perfect, the beach just had good vibes, everybody was in a good mood. Afterwards, we went to a cantina where Coffee bought us a bunch of strawberry margaritas, a couple pitchers, and we just had so many good laughs, so much fucking fun, and it was just a perfect day. And it's not just me looking back on it with rose-colored glasses because he's gone now, it just was. And I'm so thankful that I have that to counter the tough memories that I have of everything that came after that. And I'm also so grateful to the other Marines that even though when we got the news and I fell apart, they could have ripped me apart for it, but they didn't. A couple days later, when his dog was back on Leatherneck, they specifically called me over to go privately spend time alone with his dog. And to be able to dig my hands into its fur and just have my hands on something that he had helped mold into something so good, it just really meant a lot to me. All the Marines were just incredible, and their hearts were broken too, and they still looked out for me, which is a testament to the Marine Corps, I think, and they helped me get back on my feet and get back into the zone and onto the mission at hand. But it's been 6 years now, and it wasn't until last year that I was able to get out there and finally go visit his grave. And I got a ticket and rented a car, flew into SeaTac. And I think there's so many difficult things about it, like so many reasons it took me so long. And he was an only child. His dad was a lifelong fireman on the Portland Fire Department. He talked about his mom all the time. He absolutely loved her. He was only a few weeks away from coming home, and his wedding registry was all set. He was going to marry the love of his life that he, I'm telling you, absolutely adored this girl. They were head over heels in love, and it was hard to go to that place where you knew all that heartbreak was, selfishly, I guess. But I finally made it out there, and after a few days of kind of avoiding it, I guess, and going up and down the coast and staying in hostels and just kind of roaming around. Finally went to downtown Portland, bought the biggest thing of flowers I could find, the biggest, brightest, most coffee-like, happy, wonderful flowers, and took them over to the Portland National Cemetery. And when you get there, there's like this little computer in the check-in area, and you type in the name of the fallen, and it will give you a map of where they are. So I did that, and I got the little map back in my rental car, and I drive all the way around into the top of this beautiful hilltop. So he was in the penthouse suite of grave sites, surrounded by, it was this beautiful, misty, gray day. It was really still, and all these big, beautiful pine trees. And as soon as I got out of my car, just like I had the day I found out he died, I lost it. I could not keep my shit together. I think I had been holding all that in since then, and it just all came pouring out. And I probably really freaked out the groundskeeper who was nearby with my ugly crying. But oh well. But I started making my way over to his grave. And that's heartbreaking in itself, because you see that you are so not alone in your grief. You see the other flowers and stones and marks from visitors on graves of other teenagers, 19-year-olds from this war, 20s, 30s, fathers, sons, daughters, you know, and it kills you that you are not alone in this, because it's just fucking sad. And you wonder why, especially as this war hits its 17th year. There's just a lot. It's heavy. It's a heavy thing. But I made it over to his grave, and I was standing there just thinking about him and what a good person he was. And I started hearing a buzzing sound. And it turns out towards the end of summer on a gray day in Portland, bees love a colorful flower. And all of a sudden I was swarmed by fucking bees. And I was like swinging the bouquet around like an idiot and making a scene as I am wont to do. But finally I just kind of set the flowers down and I had to step away for a second. And then the bees chilled out. And I took a picture and I sat down and I sat with him for a while. And I sent the picture to his mom, and I just let her know, like, just want to let you know that I came out here to see your son, and I think about him every day, and he's not forgotten, and he never will be. I think it's so important for the Gold Star families to know that. If you know any Gold Star families, please, please reach out and let them know. I'm sure it can be awkward sometimes, but just every now and then drop them a line. if you don't already, you know. But she responded and was so thrilled that I was there and had shared with me other Marines who had been there recently. And that felt good to know that too, that I wasn't alone. And, yeah, it was just, I'm so glad I did it. And 24th of May, 2012, Keaton Coffee, you'll never be forgotten. And this weekend can be a real bitch if you have lost someone in the war. You are so not alone. I guess that's the one thing I guess that I really wanted to say in all of this. You are so not alone in your grief. And you're not crazy. If it's been years and years and years and you're still sad, you are not crazy. You're human. It sucks. But you can always reach out to us in our DMs. You can go to getheadstrong.org and talk to somebody if you need to. There's all sorts of, you know, just go on Google. If you think you need to talk to somebody, don't hesitate. And don't be afraid to reach out to your friends either. They might not understand, but they'll be there for you. I know reaching out to my old Marine buddies is always super helpful to me. And don't be ashamed for enjoying the weekend either. Don't let anybody party shame you if that's what you choose to do this weekend. I think part of Memorial Day is celebrating the lives that we are allowed to have because of these people who have given their all. And I would say, though, do take the time to reflect a little bit. And if you can do some kind of good or pay it forward somehow in a small way in your community, I highly encourage it. And reach out to anyone you know who might be having a tough time this weekend. But I guess that's my ramble. Thank you so much for listening. And just to say his name one more time, on this day, Corporal Keaton G. Coffey. Love you, buddy.
That was really touching. And I know that it's hard to put yourself out there. Like we've talked about different people that we've known and lost. So it's tough to put yourself out there and your emotions out there and how you're feeling at times. So you did a great job there, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you. I was feeling all the feelings, guys. I just had to...
I could tell by the timestamp on when it came into the email inbox.
Yeah.
But I was saying to Chaps before you came in, you know, it was, I think, maybe your first really, truly honest moment. Not that you haven't been honest before, but as Chaps was saying, you know, to open up yourself that much and to speak in that detail and that type of emotion takes a lot. So we appreciate you sharing that story. And he really did sound like he was a fantastic Marine and better person. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And Cons, side note, in a very different vein here, but on a happier note, you have a lot of big anniversaries this week.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
What's up with that? And circling back to West Point, perhaps?
As much as Chaps probably doesn't want to.
Here we go.
No, it occurred to me earlier in the week when I looked at the calendar and then I kind of thought about it. This week is the anniversary of when – not anniversary, but I graduated West Point 12 years ago. And then 10 years ago, I went to Iraq. And then 7 years ago this week, I left active duty. And it never occurred to me until this week that all of those things happened the same week. So it was a little bit of nostalgia for me. And it was interesting to think about.
And graduation at West Point, what's the deal? What's the big deal?
Just like everything, I think, at West Point, it's
everything at West Point's a big deal. You didn't know?
No, I mean, it's like we take things and kind of stretch them out and make them more of a big deal. But when I think about graduation week at West Point, the cool thing is that it's one of the very few times when it actually feels somewhat, and by no means exactly, but very somewhat loosely like a regular college, because there isn't as much regiment. There's only like one formation a day, so you're really free to do whatever you want. There's parades the whole week that starts with the alumni parade in the beginning of the week on Tuesday. One of the cool things they do with that is they have the oldest living graduate come back and place a wreath on the Colonel Thayer statue, who's the founder of West Point. And then there are just different activities. The superintendent will have all of the students, not at once, but all of the students by regiment over to his house for a reception, which is a nice thing. There's the academic awards. There are the athletic awards, the baccalaureate mass for those who practice any sort of religion. And then you have a banquet on Friday night to commemorate what's going to be happening the following day on Saturday when you experience the culmination of the 47-month-long journey, and that's known as graduation. And one of the most fun things about graduation is you march up to the football stadium super early and you get formed up behind the stadium, and that's when people start telling stories of all the shit they got away with that they definitely could not tell anyone for fear that it might leak to the wrong person and you could get kicked out. And I remember the story of telling everyone how when I was a sophomore, I got arrested for giving a police officer in the middle of the day, mind you, a fake ID by accident. Now,
how?
A fake. Well, it was in my wallet right next to my real ID. Oh. And it was that good that I just grabbed the wrong one. And those who don't know, the cadet honor code is a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. So I apologize. I guess, you know, technically speaking, a fake ID is lying. But I never got in trouble at West Point, because if they had found out about it, I definitely would have been kicked out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's a chance I wouldn't have, but
so maybe they were like, he has recon potential. He's going undercover.
Yeah,
he's like,
exactly.
Doing a whole different. Yeah, that could be skillful.
Exactly. But then, yeah, and then, you know, Saturday morning is honestly the best day of my life ever to graduate, when you consider all of the things you had to go through to get there and all the trial and tribulation. And one of the cool parts for my graduation, I think I might have just mentioned it to you guys. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but after I received my diploma and I walked off the stage, there's always the members of the 50th anniversary class, so whatever class is 50 years prior to yours, that will hand you your gold lieutenant bars. And General Norman Schwarzkopf was class of 1956, and he handed me my lieutenant bars that I wore until promoted to first lieutenant. So that was a cool little
kind of a big
fact
deal.
Of history.
Well,
there.
Just think, 50 years from when you graduated, some guy is going to say, Zero Block 30s, Captain Cons gave me my...
And he's going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, no. That's really cool, though. I will say one time, is there a tradition where you guys like go across the river for like a weekend trip and you come back on like boats?
Not that I know of.
Oh, so I went, when I lived in New York, I went upstate New York the one day, and right across from West Point, there's like a cute little town.
Yeah, Garrison.
Yeah, so I went to Garrison. I was going to like all these little art museums there because I'm a dork. And all the West Point cadets like got shuttled in, and these ferries pulled up to take them across the river. So they were all dressed. I don't know where they were coming from, but they were all dressed, you know, in their uniforms real nice. And they all had their sea bags. And this one, they were all dicking around on this dock that went out. And this one guy dropped his sea bag in the river. And it was like one of the best moments of my life. I was like, I can't believe I got to be here for this. And they were all trying to like hold on and get it. It was like floating away. But anyway, so that's my highlight of West Point graduation week. But that's really cool, Con.
Yeah.
That's a fuck enough about Connor and West Point. Goddamn. Not about you this weekend. We're going to go in a save round alibis, and this week that's going to be brought to you by 4Hems, because a lot of people, if you are having trouble getting your dick hard, you're going to want an alibi from your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever, because your penis isn't getting as hard as it used to. It's not getting as hard as it should. It's not doing things that it wants to. And if you want your penis to get hard again, you should go with 4Hems, because they have well-known generic equivalents to the name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair, help you keep your dick. I mean, I don't think your dick is going to fall off if it doesn't get hard anymore, but you're going to want it to be performing well. Where
you don't want to find out.
Yeah, you want your dick to be like all veiny and stuff and like just super hard. I think 4Hems helps with that. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. You don't want to lose your boner at 35 too. 4Hems can help with both. They have real doctors with real medical-grade solution to treat hair loss and boner stuff. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions that are backed by science. Order now, and our listeners will get a free trial month, or get a trial month for just $5 today while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/zero. That's FORHIMS.com/zero. 4hims.com/zero. Any save rounds or alibis?
I got, quick one. If anybody's at the Indy 500 this weekend, hit me up, because I will be there roaming the crowds.
Oh, I didn't know you were going.
Yeah, I'm going. I have family out there that got an extra ticket for carb day and for the race for me. So they're like, come out. So
are you
going
to try to link up with McAfee and his crew?
I don't know. I feel like it'd be weird if I didn't.
Yeah,
but I might. But yeah. I'll be roaming. I'll be roaming. So if you're there, hit me up at Kate Barstool on Twitter and buy me a drink, man. I don't know. Buy me a there giant turkey leg.
That is the only reason Kate joined this podcast. She just wants free drinks, people. Jesus.
That's it. But that's my only thing.
And if you don't, she's going to slam you for disrespecting the troops, which you don't want.
Yeah. If you don't love the troops.
Yeah, a few things. Number one, if you're so inclined on Monday, you know, just tweet at ZeroBlock30 and share with us a little snippet and a picture of someone that you've lost that you'd like to be remembered, and we'll throw it a retweet so everybody can see all of those folks. And then just congratulations to the Army baseball team beating Navy and winning the Patriot League and now on their way to College World Series.
Boo!
Good for them. And then just congratulations to all the cadets who are graduating West Point. I believe Navy and Air Force are graduating this week too, so I guess we can give them some congratulations for completing their journeys through the various service academies. So good on you.
All right, sound the retreat.